Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
Okay, so we've been rushing through Mark. We've been looking for Jesus, finding the Messiah in the book of Mark. We've looked through chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and today we're going to pick it up in chapter 5. And this is going to be the quickest you have ever heard it go, okay? Except we have a lot of verses to cover. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And this is a story of what we call Jesus and the Gadarene demoniac. Okay, now you remember where we last left off, right? Jesus had gotten in a boat with his disciples, and he was going across the Sea of Galilee from one side to the other, going from west to east. And during that time, there was a big storm, right? And he was asleep in the back of the boat, and everybody was upset. They thought they were going to die. They woke him up. He calmed the storm. And then they find themselves now finally having got across the sea. Now, one of the things that I find interesting about this is that Jesus got in the boat, went across. He's going to do his business that we're going to talk about right now, and then he's going to get back in the boat and go back. Okay, so just keep that in mind as we read along. Verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and he bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he says, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore Jesus earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there was at that time a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. And the demons implored him, that's Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine so that we may enter them." And Jesus gave them permission, and coming out of the man, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. And their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they come to Jesus, and they observe the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it happened and how the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him, that is Jesus, to leave their region. So he does. He gets in the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And Jesus did not let him, but he says to him, "Go home to your people, report to them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And the man went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis, that's a region of 10 cities, what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Okay. So it's a pretty amazing story, huh? Jesus comes over to this man, he gets out of the boat, and when he gets out, there's this man there who's filled with a legion of demons. A legion's about, 1,000 men? Okay, so you know we're guessing, you know, around 1,000 demons in this guy. I can't imagine what the voice sounded like, you know, that came out of his mouth when he spoke. But I find it interesting, some of the things that go on here. And I just want to make a few observations, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. But first observation is Jesus gets in the boat. He comes across the sea. And all he does, you know, when he gets to the East Coast, is deal with this guy. He doesn't really do anything else. He goes all the way across. He faces opposition on the way there. Remember last week we talked about how that storm could have been supernaturally induced. You know, sort of a way to try to thwart Jesus from getting where he was going. And when he gets there, he faces, you know, an army, basically, from the other side. An army of demons. Those who are strictly and always opposed to the gospel of God. And when they see Jesus, what do? They run up and bow down to him. Okay, there's no discussion here about who's in charge. There's no discussion about who's more powerful. Okay, the demons understand who Jesus is. He hasn't been revealing himself to anyone else, right? That's kind of the whole point of the book. He's just doing these things, and we're supposed to pick up on who he is because of what he does. But the demons, they know exactly who he is. They know exactly who he is. And they run up and bow down before him. Now, Jesus is saying to them, come out. Now, whenever you picture this in the movies or something like that, right? All he'd have to say is say, come out, and whoosh, they'd be gone, right? But it's not how it happens. Jesus is actually having a conversation with these demons. He's telling, come out, come out. And they're basically arguing, not yet, not yet. I think they know they don't have a chance to stick around. But they're negotiating a little bit of a better settlement, right? You know, it's like Jesus could throw them into the abyss. And instead of being thrown into the abyss, they're begging for something a little more humane. Now, I find it interesting, right? When Jesus asks the name, and they say the name is Legion, you know, so that you get this picture that there's more than just one demon in this man. There's a lot of demons in this guy. And when Jesus basically starts to say to them to come out, you know, they ask for this special dispensation to go into the pigs, right? But before that, they say, please don't torment me. And I'm thinking to myself, you've been tormenting this poor guy for years. I mean, here this guy is living in the tombs. Would you guys like to live in the tombs? I mean, is there any worse place to be, you know, than living among other dead people? And he's naked. And they try to chain him up so that he can't hurt himself or other people, and he keeps breaking the chains. They say that there's nobody that can actually subdue him. So, you know, in this whole region of 10 cities, there's no group of people strong enough to come and hold this guy down. And yet here he is standing before Jesus, begging not to be tormented. And so what Jesus does ultimately is he lets them go into the pigs, because that's what they wanted. The pigs rush down the mountain into the water and drown. I don't know what that means about what happens to the demons after that. And I'm not sure that Jesus really cared that much. He wanted them out of the man. Right? That man was important to him. He came all the way across the sea through a storm to meet this guy and to free him from the torment that he was in. That's the kind of God we serve. Okay? A God who would go to great lengths. So great lengths that he came to this world, lived in this world, and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He allowed himself to be hung on a cross, punished as a criminal, put to death, so that he could reach us and set us free. This is what he did for this man. He came, he met him, and he set him free. Just like with the storm, once the storm was calmed, then they were scared, right? I mean, they were afraid they were going to die before the storm was calmed. But once the storm was calmed, the Bible goes to great lengths to say, then they were frightened. Same thing happens here. Jesus frees this man, and then they're frightened. Okay? They recognize, everyone is recognizing that they are in the presence of great power. Great power that can put a claim on their life. That's a scary thing. I think as human beings, one of the most fearful things for us is, it's kind of a two sides of the same coin. One is freedom, to be absolutely free because of the responsibility that comes with that freedom. And the flip side of that is to be held accountable for what we don't do. Because if we have freedom, you know, to do whatever good we're meant to do in this world and we fail to do it, and there's someone there to hold us accountable for that, that's a frightening thing. And I think this is what people are experiencing when they have this inkling that this man Jesus is a little more than just a man, that he might actually be God. So then they're scared. And what does Jesus do? He gets in the boat and he heads back to the other side. But when he gets in the boat, the demon-possessed man, the formerly demon-possessed man, can we call him that? You know, kind of like, well, never mind, I won't go there. He runs up to Jesus and he says, "Can I go with you?" Now, wouldn't you think that would be the most natural thing in the world for Jesus just to say, "Yeah, get in the boat, let's go do this"? But he doesn't. He says, "You stay here. I want you to stay here, and I want you to go and to tell your friends and your family and your neighbors about the mercy that God has shown you, about the great and wonderful things that God has done for you." You imagine what a testimony this guy's got? Everybody knows who he is, right? Everybody knows what he was like. And all of a sudden, he's completely flipped around. His whole life is turned around. He's actually wearing clothes, you know, and he's able to go and to talk to people and to tell them that he met Jesus and this is what Jesus did for him. You know, at this point in time, all they know is this guy killed our pigs and they want him gone. Okay? They're imploring him to leave. Later, we're going to find that Jesus comes back to this region, and when Jesus gets back to this region, everybody's prepped. All 10 cities are coming out to meet him, to greet him, to find out what he's all about. Jesus left this guy, whose name we don't even know, where he was so that he could be a missionary to those 10 cities with nothing, really, except this story about how he was possessed by demons and set free by Jesus. I want you guys to think for a second about your own life and what you've been set free from. You know, and I can look back into my life and I know that that there's much that God has set me free from. There's much that's been changed in my life over time. It doesn't always happen overnight. This guy had an instant boom, right? Everything's different. Sometimes for us, it takes a little longer than that. You know, sometimes we go kicking and screaming, no pun intended here. But sometimes we do. We go kicking and screaming, and God has to work on us to change us. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm willing to wager that you have a story. You have a story about how you met Jesus and about what he's done for you. And that story is the power of God in the gospel. When you share that story with people, when you make friends with them and they ask you for a defense of why you have hope in this world, this terrible world, and you say to them, "This is what Jesus did for me," that carries a lot of weight. And the Holy Spirit will use that to touch other lives and to prepare their hearts for Jesus, if not to actually bring them into the kingdom. Okay. So it's good, it's really good to think about it. What has he done for me? You can think back to the beginning. You can think back to yesterday. I don't think it matters. What matters is you have an experience with God, and that experience is something that you can share with others and make an impact. The same Jesus who crossed the Sea of Galilee to set this demoniac free is the same Jesus who left heaven, crossed the universe to hang on a cross, to set you free. He's a God who loves you. He's a God who is faithful to every promise he has ever made. And he's a God who desires, I believe, in some ways more than anything else, to give you purpose, to allow you to be used in a way that actually touches and rescues another person. Now, Junko's going to Japan to look up people and to talk with them about what's going on. We're having kids come to Green Oak Ranch, and I guarantee you there are going to be kids who are going to get set free at Green Oak Ranch. God's good. And he loves us. When we look to him, he meets us. And he sets us free. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the grace that you give to each and every one of us every day. Lord, I know that sometimes it's hard to see what it is you want to use us for. Sometimes we don't feel very useful. But Lord, if we've been touched by you, I know that you want to use us to pass that on. So God, I'm going to ask you to bring to our minds those things you've done for us. And Lord, if there are things you've done for us that we're unaware of, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see them. Lord, so that we might know them. You're an awesome God. You've done awesome things. You're the greatest power in the universe, and it's not even close. There's nothing that's a close second, Lord. You can do anything you want, anytime you want, however you want, and you've chose us to be a part of that process. Lord, it's a grand thing. Give us the grace to enter into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.